Track 2 News. Hello and welcome to the Black Country Talking News. It's Wednesday the 5th of December 2018. And today in the studio we have Martin and John as the sound engineers. Your readers are Brian Joyce and myself, Bronwyn. And with that, Joyce will take us away with the first item.
Weekly talks will be held at a gallery based on different pieces of art which span 300 years. Wolverhampton Art Gallery will hold the talks each Wednesday, which will be for about 10 to 15 minutes. The last talk was on Earth by Yinka Shonibare, MBE. Shonibare's work focuses on colonialism and identity, combining images and motifs from African and Western European culture and history. Nikki Harratt, Cultural Promotions Officer at the gallery in Lichfield Street, said, "They started at the beginning of October. They've been well attended. Ultimately, the goal is to let people find out more. Some art can be quite difficult, so it's about demystifying and appreciating the art. They are absolutely free and there's no need to book. Just turn up and tag along." The next one is December the 5th, and then it starts again on January the 16th after the Christmas break. It's for students upwards and people on their lunch break. Mr. Harratt added, "We have a diverse collection spanning over 300 years, so any of the work. A huge chunk of our collection is digitised so that people can find out more information about it there." Joseph Highmore's Lee family portrait is an enormous piece. We had to deframe it and fold to just take it out of the gallery. That will certainly be focused on at some point. There's so much to be told about that the casual viewer might not see it, that it's bringing it out so others can see. The talks will be held at 1:30 p.m.
Keen amateur photographers from the Instagram group Iger's Black Country focused on autumnal scenes at the weekend. Around 35 snappers visited the beauty spot The Lisos in Hills Owen for their latest Insta meet on Saturday. And the parkland proved to be the perfect setting to capture the season with its rich colours in all their glory. The Lisos was designed by the poet William Shenstone between 1743 and 1763. It is counted among the most important landscapes created of the 18th century. Photographers were given tours around the park while others split into groups for workshop-style sessions with models. And you can see all the images taken during the day by searching Instagram using the hashtag IGBC_meet_Lisos. That's all lowercase, by the way. Follow at Iger's Black Country, all one word, for more images and latest meets.
Dudley Hippodrome is set to be turned into a centre for testing driverless vehicles after the plan was chosen ahead of a bid to reopen it as a theatre. The venue, which is steeped in history, is now to become a driving base to help develop the future of the motor industry. The blow to the hopes of the Dudley Hippodrome Community Group, which campaigned to save the jazz era venue, could be the final nail in the coffin of the building that first opened its doors in 1938. A report to the Council's Cabinet is recommending a proposal by the Dudley Driverless Vehicle Consortium to use the land as control centre for a high-tech autonomous vehicle demonstration route. The project is estimated to cost £9 million and is backed by the West Midlands Combined Authorities Transport for the West Midlands Group. Council officers say the consortium's proposal could see an autonomous route providing a commercial transport link between Dudley Zoo, Living Museum and Canals Tunnels Trust, as well as a link to Dudley College Town Centre campus. The report states, the objective is for Dudley to become a key national centre for autonomous vehicles. In rejecting a £12 million proposal by Dudley Hippodrome Community Group to refurbish the existing building as a theatre and arts centre, officers dismissed the scheme. They said, there is no clear and cogent plan as to how funding is to be secured, no consideration as to how audience is to be captured and grown, and no assessment of the potential for competition between other nearby venues. The group accept that they have no experience of developing and delivering a major capital project. In virtually all areas of the submission, the proposal is weak. The report comes after the council took back of control of the Hippodrome in February this year, after it said a similar plan to open its theatre had failed to meet significant mileposts. The council bought the building, which once attracted national and international talent, in 2009 after it closed as a bingo hall. Dudley Cabinet will now decide if they accept council officers' recommendations at their meeting on December the 6th.
Hundreds of people packed Wednesbury Town Centre to watch Coronation Street star Jack Shepherd turn on the Christmas lights, starting the countdown until the big day. Shepherd, better known as Corrie's David Platt, had the honour of pressing the button alongside the Mayor of Sandwell, Councillor Joy Edis. In the build-up to the big moment, the huge crowd sang Jingle Bells, as coordinated by BBC WM presenter and compere for the night, Daz Hale, and danced along to a performance by UB40 tribute Mitchell Joseph. Britain's Got Talent 213 semi-finalist Rose O'Sullivan also entertained the crowd after performances by vintage singers, the Twixie Bells and local schools. The streets of the town centre were filled with stalls and brightly lit fairground rides for children, including a Santa's Grotto. Mr. Shepherd, who showed up after filming and walked on the stage to the Coronation Street theme tune, said, I was meant to finish at 5:30 p.m, but we got a step on and finished about 4:30. Is everyone all right? Miss Edis thanked the Sandwell Council, Friends of Brunswick Park and Open Heaven Church for their hard work to make the event happen. She also thanked councillors Pam Hughes, Peter Hughes and Elaine Costigan for their support. She said thank you to the teachers who take the time to practice with the children and bring them to the event. Congratulations to the pupils who have been absolutely wonderful this evening. A second thank you goes to all our performers and stall holders this evening, who have been brilliant. Finally, to thank all who have worked hard to make this evening happen, she added, on behalf of everyone involved, I would like to wish you a blessed and happy Christmas.
A Black Country war hero has recently picked up 2 gold medals at the Invictus Games in Australia. Dave Watson, who lives in Hales Owen, won gold for the second year running in the discus, following up on his shot put gold after a victorious week in Sydney. The 32-year-old, originally from Preston, took part in his second games after winning the discus gold and the shot put bronze in Toronto last year. To add to his defence of the discus title, the former serviceman picked up the shot put gold to add to his growing haul of medals. But he didn't stop there, beginning his winning week by picking up 2 silver medals in rowing, in the 1-minute sprint race and the 4-minute endurance race. He's a professional discus and shot put thrower in his day job and is aiming for Paralympic glory in the future. Dave was injured during a tour of Afghanistan in 2010, serving in the Scots Guards. He stood on a hidden explosive device when crossing a stream after turning back to help a friend who'd slipped over. He lost both his legs and most of his right arm and was medically discharged from the army in 2014 after joining in 2008. His wife, Becky, aged 35, and stepson, Joshua Phipps, aged 14, were in Sydney supporting Dave, while his two young children, Erin, aged 3, and Paige, aged 1, had been waiting at home. Dave was joined in the Black Country contingent in Australia by Clive Smith from Walsall and Carol Hynett from Dudley. Clive captained the British wheelchair rugby team to a silver medal. They lost out to the host nation Australia in the final due to a score of 23 points to 17. The veteran Army Lance Corporal was competing in his third games after London and Toronto. Nicknamed Smudge, he lost both his legs above the knee after a blast in Afghanistan in 2010. Meanwhile, Carl picked up the silver medal in the 1500-metre race in his first ever games.
Ian Austin says the Labour Party should think long and hard about its decision to oppose Theresa May's Brexit deal. The Dudley North MP, who represents one of the country's highest voting Leave areas, said that although the deal was clearly not perfect, voters expected MPs to sort out Brexit. Mr. Austin, a vocal critic of Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, said, "The Labour leadership is against the deal. Most members hate it, and MPs are being inundated with emails from both hardline Brexiteers and passionate Remainers, urging them to vote it down. The strength of the Tory response has made it even more difficult. Why take a risk? But the party should still think long and hard." He added that the Prime Minister had certainly not taken the easy option when it comes to Northern Ireland and had gone out of her way to ensure that there is no hard border, which he described as an achievement. He also claimed Mrs. May's agreement with the EU delivered on the substance behind most, if not all, of Labour's Brexit stress tests and spoke out against the prospect of a second referendum. Mr. Austin said defeating the deal would only make a chaotic no-deal Brexit more likely. "It is clearly not a perfect deal, but there was never going to be a perfect deal," he added. "My constituents voted to leave. They expect us to sort this out, and we in the Labour Party need to think carefully before rejecting it."
Controversial plans to build a multi-million pound leisure and outlet shopping development on playing fields in the Black Country have been unveiled. The scheme by developers Jeremy Knight Adams could create 2,000 new jobs and would see the facility built on land near the Lion Farm estate in Oldbury. The plans include more than 90 outlet shops, cafes and restaurants, along with a variety of leisure opportunities, including a fully interactive entertainment complex with activities from climbing and virtual paragliding to adventure golf and soft play. The leisure offering will also include a cinema, hotel and gym. It also features a range of community facilities, including two on-site 3G pitches for all-year use. Reprovision of existing pitches with high-quality replacements, a dedicated community hub, a Black Country Tourist Information Centre, a training and skills hub, a creche and exhibition venue. The proposals have previously sparked protests by campaigners who claim that it will cause traffic chaos and add to air pollution from the nearby M5 motorway. In the past, protesters have picketed Sandwell Council House and held a mock funeral to highlight their opposition to the scheme. Developer Mr. Knight Adams said, If approved, the proposals will create a fantastic leisure and outlet shopping experience in Sandwell. The development will be a gateway into the area, putting Sandwell firmly on the map, and it will provide a dedicated tourist information centre to ensure that visitors make the most of their time in the Black Country. We are committed to ensuring that local people benefit from the development, whether by the savings and choice offered by outlet shopping, participating in new healthy activities, or by finding employment. We will work with local colleges and businesses to improve access to high-quality skills and training. The consultation will shape our plans by helping us to understand what people want from the development. Former UKIP West Midlands mayoral candidate Peter Durnell, a spokesman for the protesters, claimed that the scheme had significantly changed. He said, "New plans appear very different to the high-end outlets originally proposed." However, whether to build Aldi's and Poundland's or Gucci's and Burberry's, 19 hectares of Sandwell's precious and rapidly dwindling greenery will still be concreted over. Already badly congested roads will become massively more so. Already dangerously high air pollution levels will be further raised. Local flooding risks will be increased, and a vital wildlife highway will be destroyed. Details have now also been announced for public consultation events next month, ahead of a formal planning application being submitted. They will take place at West Bromwich Community Centre between 2 p.m. and 6:45 p.m. on Friday, December the 7th, at Brass House Community Centre in Smethwick between 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. The plans can also be viewed by visiting www.lionfarmproposals.com from today. Members of the public may also contact the project team directly by calling 0844 556 3002 or emailing lionfarmproposals@lexcom.co.uk. The deadline for submitting comments is Friday, January the 11th.
Work has started on putting in place the foundations for the first section of the new Wolverhampton Railway Station building. Demolition works have been completed and contractors Galliford Try have this week moved piling machinery on site. It follows the demolition of the former British Transport Police building and a small section of the current station building next to Platform 1 as part of works over the last 2 months. It is the next stage in delivering a £150 million transport hub to provide an attractive commercial gateway to those entering the city by National Rail, bus or tram. As there will be no changes to the platform areas as part of the scheme, this has allowed it to be designed in two phases to ensure train services from Wolverhampton continue to operate as normal throughout. The first section of the new station building is expected to become operational to customers in the autumn of 2019, when phase two of the programme, bringing down the remainder of the current station building and completing the new build, will also start. The new state-of-the-art station building will be fully open in the summer of 2020. Councillor John Reynolds, Economy Chief at the Council, said works are progressing well on the first phase of the railway station programme and dramatic change can already be seen. We are now looking forward to seeing the first signs of the new station building coming out of the ground. It has been a long-held vision for the council to deliver a new railway station befitting our great city, and it sits within a total of £3.7 billion worth of investment currently on site or in the pipeline across Wolverhampton. As part of this regeneration, it is crucial visitors to our city get the best first impression possible and their travel experience is enhanced. The new state-of-the-art station building we're developing will deliver that. Once work on the new station building is completed, it will pave the way for the Midland Metro Alliance to begin the final link of the new city centre tram extension. The Midland Metro Alliance are currently delivering the Piper's Row and Railway Drive phases of the extension to the railway station.
A new multi-million pound Primark store has officially opened at Maryhill after a major expansion. The retail giant has opened a huge new store at the Briley Hill Shopping Centre after moving into the vacated store space left behind by BHS 2 years ago. The flagship store has expanded on the lower level of the shopping centre, increasing its space by 70%. Now the budget fashion retailer can offer Black Country residents a larger range of products from baby and kids to women's, men's, homeware, accessories and beauty products. There are also new fitting rooms and cash desks, access to free Wi-Fi and a customer recharge sitting area. Boasting a huge 60,000 square feet shopping space, the new expansion is expected to bring in 80 new jobs and pulled in dozens of customers when it was officially opened at 10 a.m. The store has continued trading throughout the expansion but had an official opening event for the improved shop yesterday at the centre in Briley Hill. Nick Round, Regional Managing Director at the Into Maryhill, said, "It was great to welcome familiar faces and customers based further afield at today's launch. There was a real buzz as everyone started their Christmas shopping or treated themselves to a present or two while browsing the increased range of Primark products. We're committed to making the retail offering at Into Maryhill the best it can be. And the opening of the larger Primark store gives us a great opportunity to provide an even better service for our shoppers." The shop expansion programme is part of £100 million worth of development and improvements being carried out by Into over the next few years. And this is their latest move after a number of investments by Into on the centre in recent months. Next opened one of its largest UK stores at Maryhill in August, after a large-scale development saw the 75,680-square-foot store open its doors. It took over the former Sainsbury's site, and at the time, Next created 9 new jobs with employees of the 2 previous Maryhill stores moving over. And with that last piece of news from me, we'll now wait for the notices. So it's goodbye from Bronwyn.
Goodbye from Joyce.
And goodbye from Brian.